I'm very thankful to be with you here at Cool Springs tonight. I told Brother Sam when he asked me to come around, I intentionally left my Bible on the pew. He made me go get it. And I've always been taught to respect my elders, so Brother Sam, I went and got it.
Amen.
I would just much rather hear Brother Sam preach than hear myself. I've already heard myself one time today, and much rather hear Brother Sam. But if you'll pray tonight for a little while, I've had a recurring thought on my mind throughout this week, and if the Lord would be pleased to bless us for a little while, I'd like to read to you beginning in the 115th division of the Psalms. Psalmist David begins this way in verse 1, "Not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but unto thy name give glory, for thy mercy and for thy truth's sake. Wherefore should the heathen say, where is now their God?" And this is what I'd like to try to speak on a little bit tonight. Verse 3, "But our God is in the heavens, and he hath done whatsoever he hath pleased." Where is your God tonight? I'll tell you where he is. He's in the heavens.
Amen.
And he is ruling and reigning as the God of eternity tonight.
Amen.
I remember I was thinking this week, I was reflecting back on a time when I was in elementary school. I guess I was about in the third grade there at the Christian school that we went to in Warner Robins. Every year they did a book campaign where they sold some books. And one year, I guess I was in the third grade, they sold this set of books that said, "Where is God?" In each little book on the third grade reading level, there was one in the series that says, "Where is God when I'm afraid?" Or one book said, "Where is God when I'm alone?" And I guess there was a handful of books in that series. Where is God when all of these different circumstances come up? Well, the psalmist tells us where your God is tonight. He's in the heavens.
Amen.
And he is ruling and he is reigning as the God of eternity. And he hath done whatsoever he hath pleased. Aren't you glad tonight that you serve a God that is able to do whatsoever he hath pleased?
Amen.
There's a companion verse to this verse over in Psalm 135, I believe. It says, Psalm 135 and verse 6, says, whatsoever the Lord pleased, that did he in heaven and in earth, in the seas, and all the deep places. So Psalm 115 says, our God is in the heavens and he hath done whatsoever he hath pleased. Psalm 135 says, whatsoever the Lord pleases, that's what he does. I had a fourth grade teacher one time. Her name was Miss Stukey. I probably shouldn't say that. I shouldn't mention her name. But anyway, she always had a phrase that she would say, I mean what I says, and I says what I mean. You and I serve a God tonight that he does what he pleases, and what he pleases, that's what he does.
Amen.
You know, man can't say that, can he?
No.
Man can't say, you and I can't say tonight that everything we please, we do. And everything we do, we're pleased in doing it. We have spring break this upcoming week, and I will be very pleased in the morning to be able to sleep in until about 6:30 or 7 o'clock. I'll be very pleased for that alarm clock. not to go off at 5 o'clock in the morning. That will please me greatly. But at the end of this week, next Monday morning, that alarm clock is going to go off at 5 o'clock, and I will not be very pleased to have to get up and begin my work week again. You and I can't say that everything we do because we please. And we can't say that we are pleased in everything that we do. Isaiah, there's a verse in Isaiah that comes to my mind about that, when the Lord says, "Remember the former things of old, for I am God and there is none else. I am God and there is none like me, declaring the end from the beginning and from ancient times the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand and I will do all my pleasure." I'm glad we serve a God tonight that has the authority and the sovereignty and the ability and the power to do whatever He pleases to do. And whatever He pleases, that's what He does. That's true in creation. That we can turn over to the first chapter of Genesis and read the account of creation. And every day the Lord said, "Let there be." And every time He said, "Let there be," the next verse is followed by, "And there was." Every time God said, "Let there be," there was. Whatever He said, let there be. And you know, God created what He created, when He created, how He created, in the progression that He created. He did all of that because He was pleased to do it just that way. Revelation chapter 4 tells us in about verse 11, I believe it is, says, "Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure they are and were created." Aren't you glad tonight to believe in a Creator God that created all things? Part of the curriculum, it used to be in the 7th grade science curriculum, was evolution. And I had a good teacher friend of mine that just, she loved to teach that unit on evolution and how all of these things that we see around us just kind of naturally evolved and became the way that they were just by happenstance and by chance. I'm glad to tell you tonight about a God who created what He created and the way that He created, when He created, and He did all of that according to His own good pleasure. Amen. He has created all things for His own pleasure, they are and were created. That's true not only in the creation of all things, but that is true more gloriously tonight. That's true in our salvation. You know, it pleased the Lord to save a people from their sins. It pleased God to do that. That boggles my mind a little bit, doesn't it, you? To think about where we were by nature, what we are by nature outside of the Lord Jesus Christ. How God could be pleased to love any of us is outside of my comprehension and understanding. Because I know me better than you know me. And I know me better than I'm going to tell you about, and how God could love a sinner like me, and even a sinner like you, far outweighs my comprehension. But He's pleased to love sinners. In Ephesians chapter 1, that chapter that's so glorious, it tells us, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to what? According to the good pleasure of the sinner's will? According to the good pleasure of the preacher's will? No. According to the good pleasure of his own will. God loved the people before he even spoke the world into existence. He loved the people and chose the people and prefixed their destiny. Your destiny, your eternal destiny was prefixed before God even said, "Let there be." Before there was an actual Michael Hathaway or Sam Bryan, I trust by faith God loved those two individuals before the world began. So much so that he prefixed our destiny to be with him one day. Why? Because he was pleased to do so. And he's a God that is in heaven, and he does whatsoever he pleases. And whatsoever he pleases, that's what he does. And we see that in our choice, or the Lord's choice for us that he made before the world began, and predestinating us to the adoption of children, to be in his family. We read that principle not only when it comes to the choice of God's people before the world began, but we also read that that principle is true when it comes to the redemption of God's people. In Isaiah chapter 53, where Isaiah says, "All we like sheep have sought the Lord." Is that what Isaiah 53 says? "All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And God and the Lord hath laid on him," Christ, "the iniquity of us all." In the verses before that, it says, "Surely he," Christ, "surely he hath borne our sorrows, our griefs, and carried away our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded," Christ, "was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. And the chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes we are healed." You know that scene on Calvary that day was a gruesome scene, wasn't it? We could go over there and read it in the Gospels. How that those wicked men took your Savior, the Lord of glory, the very one who spoke it all into existence, and the very one who does whatsoever he pleases. They took him by wicked hands, the Apostle Peter said. They crucified him and they slew him. They spit in his face, and they buffeted him with their hands, and they said, "Prophesy unto us, who smote thee?" The Bible says that they ripped his beard out, and they led him away to be beaten. Isaiah 53 tells us in verse 10, why that happened, or how it was that that happened. Verse 10, it says, "Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him." I remember thinking as a child, growing up in church and growing up at a Christian school, why it was that Jesus, the Son of God, had to die to take away sins. Why? If He's God and He can do all things and nothing is impossible with Him, why did the Son of God have to come to a sin-cursed earth and die in such a torturous way? Why did He have to bleed and suffer and die like that to take away my sins? Surely there's another way. But there was no other way. There was no other way for you and I to be redeemed. There was no other way for our sins to be forgiven. And all of those things that we read about that happened to the Lord Jesus Christ in the Gospels, that day on Golgotha, the Bible says that the Lord was pleased to bruise Him. How could that be? I have two sons. I have two sons, and the love that I have for them doesn't compare with the love that the Lord had for His Son, His only Son. But I wouldn't send either one of my sons. I wouldn't send either one of them to have that happen to either one of them for anybody. Would you, those of you that have children, would you send your children I remember a place over in Romans that says, scarcely for a righteous man would one die. How many of you tonight would die for a righteous man? What if your best friend at work, maybe, outside of your family, what if your best friend was accused and convicted of a crime that he was facing death for, and you knew that that friend didn't do it? He was guilty. He's a righteous man. How many of you, raise your hands, would take his place in the electric chair? I wouldn't. Even if I knew he was innocent, I wouldn't take his place. Scarcely for a righteous man would one die, yet peradventure for a good man, one would even dare to die. Just a good old boy. How many of you know some just good old fellas? How many of you would give your life and trade your life for just a good old boy, good old guy? Peradventure for a good man, some would even dare to die. Listen. But God commendeth His love toward us, in that while we were yet, what, righteous? Good? No, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Somebody says the ultimate sacrifice is laying down your life for the guilty or for the innocent, either one. I say the ultimate sacrifice is to give your only child for a sinner like we are. There's a small handful of people in this world, a very small, I can count them on one hand. There's about 5 people in this world that I would lay down my life for. 2 of them are here tonight. And I want you to know, I love you all, and you're all good people, but I wouldn't die for you, and I sure wouldn't send my son to die for you. You understand that?
Amen.
But the Bible tells us that when it came to the redemption of our souls, it pleased the Lord to bruise Him. That's more than my small mind can understand. How that the Lord could be pleased to bruise His Son to save sinners. But it did. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He, God, hath put him, Christ, to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he, God, shall see his, Christ's, seed and be satisfied. You know who that is? He shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days. Listen. And the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. You know what the pleasure of the Lord was on Calvary? The pleasure of the Lord was seeing all the redeemed family of God forgiven in the work of his Son. That's the pleasure of the Lord. You know you were redeemed tonight because the Lord was pleased to redeem you. You're not redeemed tonight because you were pleased to accept him. You're not redeemed tonight because the preacher was pleased to preach a message to woo you and to talk you into doing something for the Lord. You are redeemed tonight because it was the pleasure of the Lord to redeem your souls. That's wonderful news, isn't it? How can that be? Because our God is in the heavens. And he hath done whatsoever he hath pleased. And whatsoever he pleases, that's what he does. Blessed be his name. We see that not only in the election and the choice of his people, that he was pleased to do that. We see that not only in the redemption and the forgiveness of his people, all those that he chose, but we see that also in the work of the Holy Spirit in the rebirth and regeneration. You remember one time there was a man by the name of Nicodemus that came to the Lord in John chapter 3. Pharisee, he came, a ruler of the Jews, that came to the Lord by night. And Nicodemus said, Rabbi, we know that thou art come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And Nicodemus said unto him, How can this be? How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. So he can't see the kingdom of God, and he can't enter into the kingdom of God unless he's born again. That word again means from above, born again of the Spirit. And then he says how that happens. Listen, he uses the analogy of the wind. And he says, the wind bloweth where it listeth. You know what that word listeth means? It means pleases.
Amen.
The wind blows where it listeth. And thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh or whither it goeth. You and I can't control. And then he says this, so is everyone that is born of the Spirit of God.
Amen.
How does the Spirit of God come and born again? How does he come? Does he come when we say a prayer? Does he come when the gospel is preached? No. The Bible says the Spirit of God is just as sovereign as the wind blows.
Amen.
It blows where it pleases. You and I can't control the wind. If man ever gets to where he can control the wind, if you ever invent a way to control the wind, you can go to Florida and be a millionaire in 1 year. When hurricane season comes through, if you can direct that wind somewhere else, you and I don't control the wind. We can see the effects of it, can we? I'm thankful tonight that y'all can see the effects of the Spirit of God in this congregation. We can feel the wind when it blows. Aren't you glad tonight that we can feel the effects of the Holy Spirit that comes to us? But you can't tell where it comes. It's invisible. You can't tell where it comes. You can't tell where it goes. You can't see it. You can't direct it. You can't control it. And Jesus Christ says, so is everyone that is born of the Spirit of God. It goes and comes as it listeth, as it pleases. And that boggles my mind too. To think about a people who by nature, before the Spirit of God came to us, who by nature willfully walked in opposition to God. The Bible says we were haters of God. And yet He loved us enough to born us into His family anyway. In spite of that, you know why? Because our God is in the heavens. And He's done whatsoever He pleases. And whatsoever He pleases, that's what He does. That's the God we serve tonight. He's sovereign in creation. He's sovereign in salvation. And He's sovereign even tonight to give us a little bit of an insight into what we know by faith. I remember one time the Lord Jesus Christ said, "Fear not, little flock." Fear not, little flock. Don't you ever be ashamed of being a little flock.
Amen.
That's all the Lord ever had following Him, was a little flock. That's all the church really has ever been compared to the religions of the world. It's always been a little flock. Fear not, little flock. Listen. For it is your Father's good pleasure to give unto you the kingdom.
Amen.
Aren't you glad tonight to be blessed to enter into the kingdom of God in His church tonight? You know why? You know why that is? It's not because you gave your hand to the preacher and your heart to the Lord. It's not because you came down the aisle and was baptized. If you're here tonight and you hadn't been baptized, you ought to be. That's what the Bible says. But if you can see the things of the kingdom of God, it was because God was pleased to reveal it to you. Why? Well, anything you've done to deserve any of that tonight?
No.
No, just because He loves you and He's pleased to do it for you. What a wonderful God we serve tonight. May God help us in this coming week, seeing His pleasure. Seeing His pleasure was to save us, to go to such great lengths to save us. May God help us this week to find it our pleasure to serve Him.
Amen.
Isn't He worthy to be served tonight? Isn't He worthy to be worshipped and obeyed in whatever He has for us to do? Paul told the church at Philippi, I could quote that, and I've got to put my glasses back on to see it. And in Philippians chapter 2, he says, It is God who worketh in you to will and to do of His good pleasure. Tonight you have the pleasure. Or you have the pleasure of God to be out in His house to serve Him. You know why you have that pleasure? Because God worked it in you. And it's His pleasure to give it to you. May God help us to realize that in a more real way in this world. And to strive to the best of our ability to make it our pleasure to do His pleasure while we live in this old world. Blessed be His name tonight, and may God bless you is my prayer.